This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihil kareem. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa hlul 'uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli. اللهم اهدي قلبي وسدد لساني واسلل سخيمة قلبي آمين يا رب العالمين. إن شاء الله, in today's session of قريب مجيب, we will be going over some du'as related to protection, seeking protection with Allah عز وجل against every and any kind of danger. The fact is that as human beings in this worldly life, we are subjected to many trials, and we are exposed to many dangers, and we are in need of constant preservation, constant protection. And our Lord Azza wa Jal is Al-Hafiz, the one who diligently guards and protects. And Al-Hafiz is the one who is such that in his knowledge are all things which he has created. And he doesn't only know about everything that he has created, but he is also guarding and protecting every single creature of his. And especially he guards and protects those of his creatures, those of his slaves who draw near him. And he is especially kind and merciful toward them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran that وَرَبُّكَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ حَفِيظٍ, that your Lord is a guardian, a protector over everything. So there is nothing except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is guarding it, He is protecting it. Even the skies and the earth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, وَجَعَلْنَا فِي الْأَرْضِ رَوَاسِيَ أَن تَمِيدَ بِهِمْ وَجَعَلْنَا فِيهَا فِجَاجًا سُبُلًا لَعَلَّهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ وَجَعَلْنَا السَّمَاءَ سَقْفًا مَحْفُوظًا وَهُمْ عَنْ آيَاتِهَا مُعْرِضُونَ. And we placed within the earth firmly set mountains, lest it should shift with them. And we made therein mountain passes as roads, that they might be guided. And we made the sky a protected ceiling, but they from its signs are turning away. So not only is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protecting us by making the earth stable for us, but also protecting us from different things falling down on us from the sky. So He is protecting us from beneath us, from above us, from everywhere. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَيُمْسِكُ السَّمَاءَ أَن تَقَعَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ بِالنَّاسِ لَرَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. And He restrains the sky from falling upon the earth unless by His permission. Indeed, Allah to the people is kind and merciful. So Allah Azza wa Jal is Hafiz, He guards and protects His creation. Imam Ghazali explains that there are two kinds of preservation, two kinds of hifz, basically, which there are two ways in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserves and protects His creatures. And these are that firstly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserves the creation, meaning that He enables them to exist. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not create the creation, they would not exist. And if He did not preserve them and maintain them, then again, they would cease to exist. So if something exists, then it means that it is in the care and protection of Allah. So He has created the sun, the moon, the stars, and He has preserved them. He has protected them by making them the way that they are. He has preserved water as water, wind as wind. So for example, water is H2O, right? So each molecule of water contains two atoms of hydrogen that are joined with one atom of oxygen. Simple thing, right? Now, imagine if there was one atom of hydrogen in each molecule, then that would not be water. There would be no water. So water is water. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created it in a unique way. And if anything exists, it is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created it in its unique way, and He is preserving it to, and He is maintaining it, and He is enabling it to continue to exist. So if, for example, there is one molecule of, sorry, one atom of hydrogen, all right, then what would happen? If one ceased to exist, then one hydrogen and one oxygen do not make water, right? So all things that exist, no matter how big they are, no matter how small they are, no matter what their nature is, no matter how long they are supposed to exist, they only exist because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is preserving them. He is preserving them in the way that He has created them and by maintaining their unique form. And if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, He can cause them to cease to exist by changing their nature, by changing their form, by no longer preserving them. Secondly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is enabling, protecting the creation. How? That He is preserving them in spite of their opposites. So, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created things that are completely opposite to one another. And they're such that one can completely finish the other. It can completely erase the other. For instance, water and fire, they're opposites, right? So water can extinguish fire, and fire can vaporize water. Yet we see that there's a lot of fire on the earth, and there's also a lot of water on the earth, right? Even though they're used to extinguish one another in different times, different places, in different quantities, yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has maintained a perfect balance on the earth. So yes, there is fire, and yes, there is also water. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to preserve completely opposite things at the same time. At the same time. And this is so amazing, especially at a molecular level, that how things can be completely contrary to each other, but still Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is causing each thing to exist. He is maintaining it, He is preserving it, and He doesn't let them go extinct even though their opposites exist. So when Allah azza wa jal is al-hafiz, that He is able to create and preserve and maintain His creatures, and He is constantly preserving them so that they continue to exist, and then He preserves them in spite of their opposites, and He is preserving contrary things to exist at the same time. This is amazing. If Allah can do that, then He can also preserve you. He can also protect you. And you know, sometimes a person thinks that it is either me or them. So for example, a person thinks that they cannot coexist with another individual, or they cannot work in a place if so-and-so is there. They cannot be in a place if another person is there. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remember, He is your Lord and He is also their Lord. He is protecting you, He is being merciful to you, and He is also protecting them and being merciful to them. For example, in the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, we see that Yusuf alayhi salam was constantly harmed by his brothers. Not only when they threw him in the well, but even later on, years later, when they came to him and they had no idea that it was Yusuf alayhi salam, and they were asking him for food, for charity, etc. And their youngest brother Binyamin, he was basically captured as he had to spend some time in Egypt as a prisoner because he was accused of theft. At that time they said that if Binyamin has committed theft, then his brother, who he once had, also committed theft. any even at that time, years and years later, they spoke lies to harm the reputation of Yusuf alayhi salam. And subhanallah, we see that still Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam to a place where they confessed their mistake. And they admitted the greatness of Yusuf alayhi salam. And they asked their father to seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on their behalf. So sometimes, you know, when we think that we are the main character in our lives, and yes, we are the main character in our lives, we think that everyone else, we make the mistake of thinking that everyone else is irrelevant or they're unnecessary or that they should be finished and they are not worthy of any good and all good should be directed toward me. But we fail to remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our Lord and also the Lord of our enemies. So where He is protecting us, He is also granting them protection. And it is not difficult for Him. It is not difficult for Him to be merciful to you and also to be merciful to someone who has oppressed you. And, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can guide them and cause them to repent and make. So remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ala kulli shay'in hafidh. He is guardian, protector over everything. He is able to protect you, to preserve you, even when you are surrounded by dangers. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserves the skies and He also preserves the creation on the earth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran that إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُمْسِكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ أَن تَزُولَ وَلَئِنْ زَالَتَا إِنْ أَمْسَكَهُمَا مِنْ أَحَدٍ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ إِنَّهُ كَانَ حَلِيمًا غَفُورًا. Indeed, Allah holds the heavens and the earth, lest they cease. And if they should cease, no one could hold them in place after Him. Indeed, He is forbearing and forgiving. So it is Allah who is causing the heavens and the earth to exist. So He preserves both the skies and the earth, lest they cease or they shift from their place, from their nature. And He is guarding them, and that is not difficult for Him. It is not tiring for Him, Azza wa Jal. So the believer should be certain that Allah Al-Hafil, the one who preserves the skies and the earth at the same time, is able to preserve and protect me as well. He is able to preserve and protect my life, my sustenance, my work, my effort, my family, my children, my concerns. He is able to protect me also. So we should ask Allah Azza wa Jal for protection, for safety. And how can we do that? First of all, by reciting Ayatul Kursi, the greatest verse of the Quran, which describes the greatest one. And as we learn in Hadith, that this ayah basically praises and glorifies Allah Azza wa Jal. And this ayah is a source of protection for us. In Hadith, we learn that Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu was appointed to watch over the zakat property that had been collected, and it was in the masjid. So he was supposed to guard it overnight. And as he was guarding it overnight, there came someone who began to steal from the food that was there. So Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu caught him, and he said that I'm going to keep you here, and I'm going to take you to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that person said that, please let me go, I'm poor, I'm hungry, this, that. He made excuses and he said, I won't come again. And what happened? Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu felt pity, let him go. But the same person came again the next night. Same incident happened. And then came the third night. And then the third night, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu said that now for sure, I am going to take you to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So then that person said to Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu that I'll teach you something which if you say, you will be guarded, protected all night. And that is that when you go to your bed, then recite Ayatul Kursi, meaning in the night when you're about to fall asleep, then recite Ayatul Kursi, and then there will continue to be a guardian over you appointed by Allah all night long, and Shaitan will not be able to come close to you until the morning. And so what happened the next day, the Prophet ﷺ asked Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu that what happened to your thief, the thief that was coming again and again. And Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu told him about what that person has said. And the Prophet ﷺ said, صَدَقَكَ وَهُوَ كَذُوبٌ. He spoke the truth, while in fact he's actually a liar, meaning that creature that kept coming to you, that person that kept coming to you, was actually ذَكَ شَيْطَانٌ, that was actually shaitan, and he is technically a liar, but at this occasion, he spoke the truth. Yes, he told you the truth when he said that if you recite Ayatul Kursi in the night, then all night long, you will be under the protection of Allah. There will be a special guardian appointed to watch over you, so shaitan would not be able to come near you. So shaitan basically said this to Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu so that Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu would let him go. Because when someone is caught, you know, they will do anything to free themselves. So at this occasion, shaitan knew that Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu was eager for knowledge, right? And he was eager for amal. So this is something because of which he knew that Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu would let him go. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam confirmed that yes, this is true. If you recite Ayatul Kursi in the night, you are safe all night long. Shaitan will not be able to come near you. And remember that shaitan is not just among the jinn. Shaitan are also among people. There are among people who do shaitani actions. So they commit theft, right? They commit murder, rape, and all such evil, crimes. They happen in the night. They happen in the darkness of the night when people are asleep or they are, in ghafla, in their homes. They don't expect any danger. And then there are people who do shaitani actions who try to come and harm others in the night. Then shaitan over here can also include those among other creatures that can be harmful to people. So for example, a snake or and any other venomous creature that could be harmful to people. So we see that reciting Ayatul Kursi, it is a source of protection in this life, and it is also a protection against hellfire. We learned the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that whoever recites Ayatul Kursi after every obligatory prayer, then nothing prevents him from entering paradise except death. Meaning, all that needs to happen is that the person needs to die, and once he dies, he will enter Jannah. Allahu Akbar. So this ayah, Ayatul Kursi, is a great source of protection. This is our defense. You know, we learned that dua is the weapon of the believer. It is a defense. So we should make a habit that we recite Ayatul Kursi, especially in the night and especially after every obligatory salah, and also in the morning and in the evening for our safety. In Ayatul Kursi, we say, Allahu la ilaha illa hu. Allah is the one who, there is no God besides him. He is the only God. La ilaha illa hu. And Allah, remember, this is Allah's noble, glorious name. And la ilaha illa hu, there is no God worthy of worship except him. He is the only true God because he is the only Rabb who has created everything. And he is the only God. So there is not even another God besides Allah. La tattakhidhu ilahayn ithnayn. Do not even make two gods. There is only one God. Innani an Allah la ilaha illa ana. فَعْبُدْنِي. So worship only Allah because he is the only God. الْحَيُّ الْقَيُّومِ. He is the ever-living. He is the sustainer of all. He is ever-living, so he always was, he is, and he will always continue to be. And this means that all of his attributes, all of his characteristics are perfect. They do not decline and they with time, and they do not they're not weak in any way or form. He is al-hayy, the ever-living, meaning he is perfect in all of his attributes. And he is al-qayyum, he is the sustainer of all, independent of everyone, and everything depends on him. And he is maintaining every creature, and he is eternal, and he is aware of every single thing. لَا تَأْخُذُهُ سِنَةٌ وَلَا نَوْمٌ. And he is such that neither sleep, neither slumber nor sleep overcome him. Because the Prophet ﷺ, he explained that إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ لَا يَنَامُ وَلَا يَنْبَغِي لَهُ أَنْ يَنَامُ. That indeed Allah the Exalted does not sleep, and it does not befit him that he should sleep. Because sleep is something that creatures cannot help. Yani when they get, when people, when creatures get overcome by tiredness, then they fall asleep. They're not able to avoid it. They're not able to resist it. And so we see that sometimes people fall asleep while sitting, while laying down, while just resting their head. And especially in an airplane, and you see how people are sleeping in such an, in such discomfort, but they still manage to sleep. So sleep is out of weakness, and sleep, creatures need it in order to basically re-energize. So Allah Azza wa Jal is not in need of any sleep because He is perfect in all of His sifat. لَهُمَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. To him belongs whatever that is in the skies and whatever that is in the earth. Meaning, everything belongs to Allah, so his command prevails over everything, and his power, he has power over everything also. And especially the skies and the earth have been mentioned over here, because this is what we are aware of. Any the creation that we know, the world that we know is what? It's the earth that we live in and the sky that is above us. This doesn't mean that the things besides the skies and the earth do not belong to Allah. Of course they do. These two have been mentioned here specifically because this is what we know of. This is what we have seen and this is what we are within. So لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَشْفَعُ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ. Who is the one who can intercede before him, with him, except by his permission? Meaning, no one can dare to even address Allah, speak to Allah on the Day of Judgment, or intercede on behalf of someone else without the permission of Allah. Yani, no one can force, no one can compel Allah to listen to them. No, they need Allah's permission to even speak before him. This is Allah Azza wa Jal's power. يَعْلَمُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ. He knows what is before them in place, in time, وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ, and what is after them in place and in time. وَلَا يُحِيطُونَ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنْ عِلْمِهِ إِلَّا بِمَا شَاءَ. And they cannot encompass anything of his knowledge except what he wills. People cannot know anything about Allah except what Allah lets them know. And people cannot learn anything except when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enables them to learn about that. Because all knowledge is with Allah. He is the giver of knowledge. وَسِعَ كُرْسِيُّهُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. His kursi expands over the skies and the earth. Meaning his kursi, which is different from the arsh, different from the throne, it is so vast that it can encompass within it the skies and the earth. And the skies and the earth compared to us are so massive. But imagine if they are like a ring in a desert compared to the kursi of Allah Azza wa Jal, then how tiny are we? How insignificant are we? And how great is the owner of that kursi, the owner of that arsh. وَسِعَ كُرْسِيُّهُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. So when Allah is so great, وَلَا يَؤُودُهُ حِفْظُهُمَا. Guarding, preserving them both, meaning the skies and the earth, it does not tire Allah. It is not difficult upon Allah. It does not become heavy on Him. What happens with the creation is that when we have to look after something for a long period of time, even if that work in and of itself is easy, just the fact that we have to guard it for long, that tires us. That becomes heavy for us. But Allah Azza wa Jal is constantly preserving the skies, the earth, everything within them. And this does not tire Him. This does not exhaust Him. This does not become heavy or difficult for Him. وَلَا يَؤُودُهُ حِفْظُهُمَا وَهُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْعَظِيمُ. And He is the exalted. He is the one who is ever high. So no one is equal to Him or higher than Him. Everything is below Him, and He is Al-Azim, the ever great. So nothing, no one is like Him. Everything is smaller than Him, less than Him, and He is the greatest. وَهُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْعَظِيمُ. In Ayatul Kursi, there are five names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that are mentioned. The name Allah, which is the personal, greatest, noble name of Allah. Then Al-Hayy and Al-Qayyum. Al-Hayy, the ever-living. Al-Qayyum, the sustainer of all. And then Al-Ali, the ever-high. Al-Azim, the ever-great. Five names of Allah are mentioned in Ayatul Kursi. And all of these names, they teach us about the perfection of Allah Azza wa Jal. And among them are the Ismullah al-A'zam, the greatest name of Allah, about which we learn that if a person calls upon Allah by that name, then their dua is accepted. And many ulama say that this is Al-Hayyul Qayyum. The combination Al-Hayyul Qayyum, when you make dua to Allah with these names, then your dua is accepted. And if you keep in mind the meaning of Al-Hayyul Qayyum, this has a very profound impact on the heart. And this is why we see that in times of difficulty, we say, Ya Hayyu Ya Qayyum bi rahmatika astaghith. That, O ever living, O sustainer of all, it is your mercy that I seek. Because Al-Hayy, the ever living, He is perfect. Al-Qayyum, independent of all, everything depends on Him. He is watching over me. And this is why we are taught that وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى الْحَيِّ الَّذِي لَا يَمُوتُ. Put your trust in the ever-living who does not die. What happens to the creation? They die, they cease to exist, they become unavailable, or they reach their limit. They are not able to, provide us any more help or support. So Allah Azza wa Jal, He is the only one who is Al-Hayyul Qayyum. So when it comes to your worries and your apprehensions, your fears, your concerns, hand them over to Allah. Let Allah take care of them. Because لَا تَأْخُذُهُ سِنَةٌ وَلَا نَوْمٌ. He does not sleep. He does not get tired. He does not even get sleepy. What happens with the powerful people of this world is that they need to sleep, right? They eventually reach a limit. There is a limited capacity that they have. Allah Azza wa Jal is Al-Hayyul Qayyum, la ta'khudhuhu sinatun wa la nawm. And no matter how wealthy someone is, no matter how powerful someone is, and no matter how afraid you feel of them or how much in awe you feel of them, remember, they belong to Allah. لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. And when Allah does not get tired of guarding, preserving the skies and the earth, لَا يَؤُدُهُ حِفْظُهُمَا, then we should put our trust in Allah and seek help from Allah. And if His kursi is so great, then how great is He Himself? And وَلَا يَؤُدُهُ حِفْظُهُمَا وَهُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْعَظِيمُ. He is great, He is the exalted. So seek the protection of Allah Azza wa Jal by reciting Ayatul Kursi after every salah, in the morning, in the evening, against the evil of all creatures, and especially in the night when you go to sleep. When you feel vulnerable, when you feel that you are in danger, then recite Ayatul Kursi. And believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guard you, He will protect you, because He is Al-Hafiz. And we see that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserves, when He protects His creatures, then He protects them in an amazing way. Look at the example of Yusuf alayhi salam, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected him when his brothers threw him in the well. Yusuf alayhi salam was not in a position to crawl out of that well himself. He could not come out. And imagine, this was a well that was on a trade route. And there are roads that are busy, and then there are roads that hardly, anybody passes through them. So this was not a busy road. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He ensured that a caravan passed near, from there, and then somebody went to draw water out of that well, and instead of water, they found Yusuf alayhi salam. And then they took him to Egypt and sold him as a slave. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected him there also. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had him in the house of Aziz, yani his master Aziz was a good man. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected Yusuf alayhi salam there. And when the woman harassed him, then again Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected Yusuf alayhi salam by not letting him fall into sin. And when he was put in prison, again Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected him there. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reunited him with his family. So Allah guards His slaves. Yaqub alayhi salam himself said, فَاللَّهُ خَيْرٌ حَافِظًا. Allah is the best guardian. He is the best protector. And look at how Allah reunited father and son after such a long time. Look at the example of Musa alayhi salam. How when Musa alayhi salam was born, his life was in danger, because the people of Fir'aun were going around killing the babies of the male children of Bani Israel. And what happened? His mother had to put him in the water from one danger to the other. And then what happened when he was put in the water in a box? He ended up in the house of Fir'aun. So look at the danger that Musa alayhi salam was in, from one danger to another to another. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected him. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reunited him with his mother. Then we see the example of Sulaiman alayhi salam. Sulaiman alayhi salam even had jinn, shayateen, under his control, who would work for him. Different kinds of things they would do for him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكُنَّا لَهُمْ حَافِظِينَ. It is Allah azza wa jal who was guarding them all, who was protecting them all. Then we see Isa alayhi salam. People tried to kill him, crucify him. Allah says, مَا قَتَلُوهُ مَا صَلَبُوهُ. They did not kill him, they did not crucify him. So Allah azza wa jal helps and protects his slaves from where they cannot even expect, through hidden ways. We learn how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected his messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam when he was in the cave, hiding in the cave, just him and Abu Bakr. And right outside the cave were the enemy. If they had looked down, they would have seen them hiding in the cave. Subhanallah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he protected his servant Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he protects every single human being. Ka'b Ahbar said that if Allah had not appointed angels to protect you, then the jinn would have snatched you away. You would not have been able to live. You would not have been able to survive. Mujahid said that there is an angel appointed over each person who guards him while the person is awake or asleep. And that angel guards that person against the jinn, against people, against vermins, except for those times when, by the permission of Allah, something is to reach that person. So Allah guards and protects his slaves. And Ibn Rajab explains that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guards his slaves in many different ways. First of all, he guards his slaves in regard to their worldly matters. So for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guards and protects his slaves so that he protects their bodies against harm, against illness, against danger. He guards and protects their property, their children, any our worldly matters. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is preserving us, protecting us in regard to them. Secondly, and more importantly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserves, protects their religion, their iman, that Allah protects his slaves from misleading desires, from shaitan, from so many fitan, so many trials and tribulation in this life that can easily mislead a person. And then even at the time of death, we learn that shaitan tries to mislead a person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects his beloved servants, his righteous servants at that time also. So when we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for protection, for safety, let us not just think about worldly safety or safety in worldly matters. That, Ya Allah, protect me from getting into a car accident. Ya Allah, protect me from falling and breaking my bones. Ya Allah, protect me from extreme old age. Ya Allah, protect me from illness. Protect me from going bankrupt. Protect me from financial difficulty. Protect me from health-related issues. Protect me from the harm that people could cause me. All of these are necessary. But remember, what is even more important than this is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects your deen, your iman, your faith. Because eventually, sooner or later, we have to leave this world. Our bodies, no matter how healthy they are, eventually they are going to die. Our wealth, no matter how stable and well protected it is, and no matter how secure it is, eventually we are going to lose it. Eventually. But when it comes to our iman, our faith, we need it now and we need it forever in the afterlife. So when you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect you, keep in mind your worldly matters in which you need Allah's protection, and especially your deen, and especially protection against hellfire, protection against His wrath on the Day of Judgment. So ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect you, in all of these matters. And remember that when it comes to our worldly matters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects us in many different ways. He protects our intellect. He protects our different abilities, our health, our strengths, the different powers that we have, the different abilities that we have. And he protects us especially by enabling us to obey Him, to worship Him, to remember Him. Some of the righteous, they said that the person who memorizes the Quran, then their intellect remains sound until the end of their life. And even in old age, they have good memory, or their mind is still in a good state in spite of old age. So they're able to think well, they're able to speak well, they're able to comprehend, etc. They are protected against such illnesses in their old age because they memorize the Quran. Abu Tayyib Tabari, we learned that he lived for more than 100 years. He lived a very long life. And when he was, very old, at one occasion, he was getting off of a boat. And when he was getting off of a boat, he jumped off the boat. And somebody reprimanded him that you shouldn't be doing this in this age. And you should walk carefully. You should step carefully because, your body is weak. So he said that these are limbs of mine that I guarded against sin in my youth. So Allah has preserved them for me in my old age. Allahu Akbar. And when you guard your body against sin, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guard it. He will protect it for you so you are able to use it for as long as you live. And this is why we say, وَمَتِّعْنَا بِأَسْمَعِنَا وَأَبُصَارِنَا. And then that, oh Allah, enable us to benefit from, enable us to benefit from our hearing and our vision. And then وَجْعَلْهُ الْوَارِثَ مِنَّا, and make them, meaning make my faculties an heir of mine. An heir of mine, meaning allow them to outlive me. That my ears, my eyes, my ability to hear, my ability to see are still functional even when I die. SubhanAllah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guards his slaves like that. And we learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guards the property and the children of his righteous slaves also. In Surah Al-Kahf, we learn about the story of Al-Khidr and Musa. And when Khidr fixed a wall that was about to fall, and he explained later on that that wall belonged to two orphans in the city, and under that wall was their buried treasure. And their father was a righteous man. SubhanAllah. Ibn Abbas explained that those orphan children, okay, their wealth was protected. Why? Because their parents were righteous. Their father was righteous. So Allah preserves the children of the person who is righteous, especially the father who is righteous. Not only his children, but his family, his tribe even. All of them are protected because of the piety of one man. Allahu Akbar. And this is why some ulama, they said that when I see a youth who is in a good state, any well-mannered, well-behaved, who has very good habits, you know, is focused in his life, is well-settled, then I know for sure that his father was a righteous man. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا. Their father was a righteous man. So some salaf, you know, this was their understanding based on this ayah of the Quran, that the piety of a father benefits his children in many different ways. And it continues to benefit his children even when he leaves the world, even when he dies. And we see that it was the way of the righteous that they would especially perform voluntary worship. Why? So that their children would be protected. We learn about Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, that when he would be praying in the night, all right, and his young child would be sleeping nearby, he would say, "Min ajlika ya bunayya." And I am performing this voluntary worship because of you, my dear child. And then he would cry and he would recite, "Wa kana abuhuma saliha." Their father was a righteous man. You don't know how long you are going to be there for your children. You don't know if you're going to see them, if you're going to see them graduate from high school, if you're going to see them, work their first job, graduate from college, get married, get settled, have children of their own, family of their own. You don't know if you're going to be able to see that. And you're not always going to be there to protect your child, especially as your child becomes independent and they go out in the world and they're on their own, right? You are no longer going to be there to protect them, to guard them, to tell them, don't do this and don't do that. You know, one is that you want to protect them physically, financially, but the other is you want to protect them spiritually, emotionally, that no one should abuse them, no bad friends should influence them, right? So that is not in your control. It is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who can guard and protect your children. And so we learned the mother of Maryam, what did she say when her child was born? That inni u'iduha bika. Oh Allah, I give her in your protection. You protect her. And Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, how would he, what would he do on his part to protect his children? he would perform voluntary worship. Voluntary worship, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would protect his children. Because وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا, the father who was righteous, even when he died, Allah protected his orphan children. Then we learn about Ibn al-Musayyib, that he would also do the same thing. He would say that I increase in my night worship out of hope that Allah will guard my children. Allah will protect my children. And subhanAllah, sometimes we do the exact opposite. We don't perform even the obligatory worship. Sometimes that is done in a rush. We rush through it for the sake of our children. And we completely leave or minimize voluntary worship for the sake of our children. Whereas we should be increasing in worship so that Allah Azza wa Jal will protect our children, look after them in ways that we are not able to protect our children. He will protect them anywhere we fall short. He will guard them where we are not there to protect our children. And there are a number of things that we can do to seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's protection and safety. And those things are, first of all, the piety, the taqwa of Allah Azza wa Jal, that a person is conscious of Allah and a person is patient in worshipping Allah and in doing things that are pleasing to Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran that وَإِن تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا لَا يَضُرُّكُمْ كَيْدُهُمْ شَيْئًا, that if you all are patient and you observe taqwa of Allah, then their plot, meaning the plotting of your enemy, will not harm you at all. So you have to be patient over those things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes. And you have to be conscious. So you avoid, stay away from those things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like. وَإِن تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا, sabr and taqwa are essential to get the help of Allah, to be under Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's protection. Then we also learn that the one who fears Allah, Qatada said that whoever fears Allah, then Allah will be with him. And the person who has Allah, then this person has a huge source of support, such that he will not be overcome. He cannot be defeated. He has a guard who does not sleep, who he has a guide who does not make a mistake, who does not err. So the one who fears Allah, then Allah will be enough for him. Allah will protect him. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that احفظِ اللَّهَ يَحْفَظْكَ, be mindful of Allah and Allah will guard you. Allah will protect you. And when a person obeys Allah, then they see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's protection. And when a person disobeys Allah, then what happens? We learn Fudayl ibn Iyad, he said that whenever I end up disobeying Allah in some matter, then I see the consequences of my disobedience in my animal, in the nature, in the habits of my animal, or in my servant, or in my family. And he said, I even see the consequences of my sins, of my acts of disobedience, in the mice in my house. Allahu Akbar. Yani, mice in the house, what does that mean? You see, especially before, when houses were such that, you know, these things came and went through the house, or maybe mice even lived somewhere in the house. There are times, there are days when things are very calm, no problems whatsoever. And then there are days when you see a mouse, maybe in some food, or maybe coming somewhere and frightening the children, or maybe biting something, eating something, and things like that. So he said that I see the consequences of my disobedience in the way that my animal behaves, that it's not cooperating, all right? It's not running fast, it's not doing what it's supposed to. I see the consequences of my sins in my servant, that my servant does not cooperate with me, or in my family. And sometimes you see in your own children, your own spouse maybe, people who live with you, people who work with you, that they're just becoming extremely difficult to deal with. Maybe you have said many times that no one listens to me, that my children don't ever listen to me. Well, perhaps this is a time to introspect. Perhaps this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showing you that you need to fix yourself before you can expect others to fix their behavior with you. So we get Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's protection by obeying Allah. Also, when it comes to salah, especially salah, this is something that is a means of protection for us. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us very clearly that the one who performs the Fajr prayer is in the protection of Allah. And Ibn Qayyim said that, he writes very beautifully about how salah is a source of benefit and protection for us. He says that salah brings sustenance. It preserves one's health. It repels harm. It removes disease. It strengthens the heart. It enlightens the face. It delights the person, the inner self. It removes laziness. It makes the limbs of a person very active. It energizes a person, and it strengthens the abilities that a person has. Subhanallah, so many benefits a person gets when they guard and preserve their salah, when they perform salah on time, properly, correctly. And he said that if there are two people who are afflicted by the same problem, the same disease, the same trial, then the person who prays salah more properly is protected compared to the one who does not pray salah properly. The one who prays salah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects him in the sense that he suffers less. Or even if there is, a lot of pain that they're experiencing, they are still at ease. They are still, experiencing inner calm. They still have, joy in their life because of their salah. So salah has a profound impact in removing shar, evil, in external matters, in internal matters, tangible, intangible. There is nothing that benefits a person in their worldly, in their religious affairs more than salah. And it is through salah that a person benefits so much. And Ibn al-Qayyim explains that this is because salah is your direct connection with Allah Azza wa Jal. So the stronger your connection is, your relationship is with your master, with your Lord, then the more blessings and protection and good things you will receive from him. It's as simple as that. Allah says, فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ, remember me, I will remember you. So how do you remember Allah? Through salah. When you pray salah, you remember Allah. Allah will remember you. He will take care of you. He will guard you. He will protect you. Allah says, وَأَوْفُوا بِعَهْدِي أُوفِ بِعَهْدِكُمْ, fulfill my covenant, I will fulfill your covenant. Meaning you fulfill your duty to me and I will give you what I have promised you. إِن تَنْصُرُ اللَّهَ يَنْصُرْكُمْ, if you help Allah, Allah will help you. So this is a very simple concept that you fulfill your duty to Allah and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guard and protect you. Another important thing we can do to receive special protection from Allah is that we follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ibn al-Qayyim says that those who follow the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have a huge share of Allah's protection, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala especially protects them. He safeguards them. He defends them. He strengthens them. He grants them victory and success according to their portion, their share of following the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the more a person follows the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the more help and protection they will receive from Allah. And if they follow him little, less, then the help they receive from Allah will be in proportion to that. Then there are some other deeds about which we learn that if a person does them, they will receive the help and protection of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And these are, from hadith we learn, hadith in Musnad Ahmad, visiting the sick. Someone who is sick, you go visit them, you get the protection of Allah. Going for janazah prayer. Going out in the way of Allah. Going to a leader in order to support him and honor him. Because that is what a leader deserves, support and respect. And also in hadith we learn, when a person remains in his house and people are safe from him and he is safe from people. In another narration, remains in his house and does not backbite anyone, then such a person is in the protection of Allah. In another hadith we learn that the person who enters his house and says salam, then such a person is in the protection of Allah. The one who goes out in the way of Allah is in the protection of Allah. And when you give something in Allah's protection, then remember, it is safe. We learn in hadith that إِنَّ اللَّهَ إِذَا اسْتُودِعَ شَيْئًا حَفِظَهُ, that when Allah is given something to protect, then Allah protects it. When you hand over something to Allah, then Allah will guard it. He will protect it. And this is the reason why when someone is traveling, then this is the dua that you make for them, that I give you in Allah's protection. And the traveler should also make the same dua for those at home, that I give you, I leave you in Allah's protection. So we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us. And how do we do that? First of all, like I mentioned, Ayatul Kursi. Secondly, we should also recite the Mu'awwidhatayn, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ and قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. These two surahs are extremely helpful in seeking protection with Allah against all kinds of dangers, all kinds of harms. Because in Surah Al-Falaq, we are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from what? Min sharri ma khalaq, from the evil of what? Of the creation. Wa min sharri ghasiqin idha waqab, the evil of the night. All right? Wa min sharri nafathati fil 'uqad, the evil of the magicians. Wa min sharri hasidin idha hasad, evil of the envier, when he envies. And in the first ayah, when we say qul a'udhu bi rabbil falaq, falaq refers to the time of daybreak, and falaq can also refer to the entire creation. So in this surah, what are we doing? We're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us against the evil that we know, okay, the evil that we can see that is visible to us, and the evil that is hidden from us, that is invisible to us, such as the night or what happens in the night. Evil that is tangible. So for example, the evil of a venomous creature, the crime of a criminal, or evil that is intangible, or it is in matters which are unseen to us. So for example, magic, right? Or the envy of someone and the evil eye. So you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect you from all forms of evil, real, imaginary, those that are known to you, those that are not known to you, those which can harm your body or your wealth or your family, any kind of evil, you're asking Allah to protect you from that. In Surah An-Nas, you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect you from sharril waswasil khannas, right? From the evil of the retreating whisperer, who is shaitan, who could be among the jinn and also among the men. People who come and mislead, people who come and give wrong advice, people who come and say things that hurt you, that make you so sad and worried that your peace is taken away. So these two surahs, they are very, very important. We learn in hadith that these two surahs, the Prophet ﷺ told Uqba ibn Amir to recite these two surahs every time that he slept and he got up, meaning every night and every morning. You must recite these two surahs for your protection. And he said, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that there is no one who asked for anything and no one who sought protection in a way, in any way that is better than the way than using these surahs. Meaning these two surahs are the best way of asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for protection, for safety. And there is nothing like them. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that no surah like them has been revealed in the Torah or in the Zabur, in the Injil. There is nothing like them. قُلْ وَاللَّهُ أَحَدْ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. And we must recite them every time we go to sleep and every time we get up from sleep in the morning. And these surahs are especially effective in repelling the effect of magic or evil eye or any other kind of harm or evil. They are not only beneficial in terms of defense against such dark things, but also repelling them. And if you recite them, then these evil things will not reach you. And if you recite them, then if these evil things have already harmed you, then that harm will be taken away from you on account of these surahs. So recite these two surahs regularly. Make it a habit. Then thirdly, we should also recite the last two verses of Surah Al-Baqarah. Because these two verses, as we learn in hadith, they are such that if a person recites them in the night, then kafatahu, they will suffice a person. And Imam An-Nawawi explained that they will suffice a person for the reward of qiyamul layl, night prayer. Or that they will suffice a person against shaitan or against afat, any kind of problem, any kind of trial, tribulation, difficulty. These two verses, if you recite them in the night, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect you. Another dua we should be making, especially in the morning and in the evening for our protection, is Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afiyata fi dunya wal-akhirah. اللهم إني أسألك العفو والعافية في ديني ودنياي وأهلي ومالي اللهم استر عوراتي وآمن روعاتي اللهم احفظني من بين يدي ومن خلفي وعن يميني وعن شمالي ومن فوقي وأعوذ بعظمتك أن أغتال من تحتي. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would always say this dua in the morning and in the evening, always. And in this dua, what are we saying? We're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for afia, for well-being, for safety. And we're asking Allah for afu, for pardon, forgiveness. When in our deen and our dunya, in our worldly matters and our religious matters that will impact us in our hereafter. So we're asking Allah to protect us and to pardon us. We're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us, to pardon us in regard to our family, ahli, and our wealth, our property. Because sometimes it is difficult to deal with our family because of our own sins, or they are a trial for us. So we're asking Allah to protect us, to pardon us in regard to our family, our spouse, children, relatives, and then our property as well. And then, Allahumma astur awrati wa amir rawati. Oh Allah, protect my faults. Yani those things which I don't want to expose. I don't want people to come to know of these matters. Then, Ya Allah, protect them. Yani cover my faults. And wa amir rawati, things that frighten me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani we're asking Allah that, oh Allah, calm my fears. And then we're asking Allah for protection. From where? مِن بَيْنِ يَدَيَّ, from before us. وَمِن خَلْفِي, behind me. From my right, from my left, from above me. And from all directions, O Allah, protect me. And you know, sometimes it can be a very simple matter. One is that you are afraid that, you know, a wild bear will come and attack you. Yes, this is a very serious concern that you may have. And yes, you should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect you. But, you know, sometimes you are in a situation where you don't want something on your right side or your left side. You know, for example, if I'm ever in a place where I am alone, such that my family is not with me, and I have to sit somewhere in public, and, you know, for example, you go to the doctor's office, you go for some appointment somewhere, and there's chairs sometimes literally, you know, next to each other. And sometimes you're not given the option of, you know, sitting wherever you want. You just have to sit at your designated spot. And I remember I was in a situation like that once, and I thought to myself, these chairs are so close to each other. I don't want that a man should come and sit next to me. You know, I don't want that. Yes, he won't be touching me, but I don't want a strange man in such proximity, you know, in such closeness to me. I don't want that. So I remember I just kept making this dua, Allahumma ihfazni min bayni yadayya wa min khalfi wa an yamini wa an shimali, that, oh Allah, protect me from in front of me, from behind me, from my right, from my left. I don't want a strange man close to me. And alhamdulillah, no man came and sat next to me. Alhamdulillah. So it could be anything that you don't want coming at you from your right or from your left, from in front of you, from behind you. It could be that whenever you drive, you get afraid that somebody might hit you from behind, or you might hit someone, or somebody might be in your blind spot. You may be in someone else's blind spot. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect you, to guard you. And then we say, وَأَعُوذُ بِعَظَمَتِكَ أَنْ أُغْتَالَ مِنْ تَحْتِي, and I seek refuge in your greatness. Ya Allah, you protect me, that I that I slip from beneath me. And what this means is that if, for example, a person slips and falls into a very deep place, or they get for example, if there's an earthquake or something, and then a person is buried in there like that, Allah, protect me from falling from a height, falling into a deep pit. Ya Allah, protect me from slipping. Protect me from falling. And this can be in a tangible way and also intangible way, that a person makes a mistake because of which they slip and they fall so low. They go so down. وَأَعُوذُ بِعَظَمَتِكَ أَنْ أُغْتَالَ مِنْ تَحْتِي. Another dua we can make is, Allahumma inni as'aluka al-mu'afata fi dunya wal-akhirah. Oh Allah, I ask you for mu'afat, for safety, for protection in the world and in the hereafter. And this is, in hadith, we learn the best dua that a person can make, where a person is asking Allah for safety in the world and in the hereafter. And mu'afat is different from afiyah. Mu'afat is that you are safe from others and others are safe from you. Because sometimes, the fitna, the trial that you are in is through others, through people, where they suffer at your hands or you suffer at their hands. So mu'afat means, Ya Allah, protect people from me, from my anger, from my rage, from my instability, and protect me from them. You know, sometimes a person is not in a stable emotional state, or they may be experiencing, maybe they have a condition. For example, BPD, subhanAllah, it's so common. And at the same time, the person who is suffering from it, they're not always in control of their responses. So you want that people, especially those who are close to you, your spouse, your children, they are safe from you and you are safe from them. Sometimes, something that a child does can be triggering. Sometimes that, something that the spouse does, which is well within their right, that can be triggering. So, mu'afat, Ya Allah, grant me protection. So save me from others and save others from me. Grant me well-being and safety. And this includes that, oh Allah, make me independent of people and let people be independent of me also. that we are not tied up in such a way that we are constantly demanding from each other, because sometimes people are dependent on one another financially or in other ways, and then they make each other's life very hard, very difficult. So mu'afat, ya Allah, grant us mu'afat in the world and in the hereafter. And in the hereafter, mu'afat is also very important, because on the Day of Judgment, remember, qisas will happen between people. And these are people who are going into paradise, who have passed the bridge over hellfire. Then qisas will happen between people. So for example, if a believer has wronged another believer, then on that day, justice will be established. So, and on that day, you cannot compensate someone with money. You cannot compensate someone with a word of apology. And if they want your good deeds, they will take them. So you're asking Allah for mu'afat, for safety in the hereafter, that Ya Allah, protect me from others and protect others from me also. That my deeds don't go, I don't end up losing my good deeds like that. Protect me on that day. Another dua we should be making, Bismillah alladhi la yadurru ma ismihi shay'un fil ardi wa la fis sama' wa huwa as-sami'u al-alim. That in the name of Allah, the one who is such that, whose name is such that nothing in the earth or in the sky can harm. And when I have taken his name, then there is nothing in the earth or in the sky that can harm me. وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ, and he is the ever-hearing, the ever-knowing. And about this dua, we learn that if a person says it three times in the morning, then no sudden calamity will reach him until the evening. And if a person says this in the evening three times, then no sudden calamity will reach him until the morning. So three times in the morning, three times in the evening, and a person will be protected against sudden calamities. Sudden calamities are things like, like an accident, which could be, of your car or any other kind of accident, a storm that can damage your property, damage your body, damage your, children. It could be a sickness in the body. بسمالله الذي لا يضر مع اسمه شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء وهو السميع العليم. Three times in the morning, three times in the evening. And you see, you are taking the name of Allah in this dua. And Allah's name is truly very powerful. It is so powerful that it is enough to protect you against the evil of anything in the world and anything in the sky. And when you mention this, anything in the earth, anything in the sky, there's nothing else that is left. And then you say, وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ, he is the ever-hearing, who hears all sounds. And he is al-alim, who knows everything. He knows what people are doing in secret. He knows, the things that are happening, which are hidden from your eyes, that could be disastrous for you, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can protect you. Recently, someone told me about how they put bukhur in their closet. You know, bukhur, you basically burn coal, and then you put some oud, some fragrant wood or something like that on it. And then, the nice smell, people do it in their house, people do it in their closets so that their clothes, they smell nice. Now, a lot of people do that. So this person told me about how they had bukhur in their closet, and they just left it. And after some time, they smelled some smoke, and they couldn't figure out where the smell of the smoke was coming from. And eventually, it occurred to them that perhaps it is the bukhur. And when they checked the closet, only one dress was slightly burned. Only one dress. And this is amazing, because in a closet which is full of clothes, fire can spread in a second, and it can spread uncontrollably. Especially when fire is rising upwards, all right, and if the clothes are hanging, then fire will spread very quickly. But subhanAllah, All that happened was just one small part of one dress was burned. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's protection. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's protection. Yani your children, especially when they're little, they do things and they don't even realize how they're putting themselves or other people in danger, right? How a child one day just rolls over and you don't know, they could slip, they could get seriously injured. So it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who protects. We need to make a habit that we say this dua 3 times in the morning, 3 times in the evening, and teach this dua to your children, to your loved ones. Another dua, أعوذ بكلمات الله التامات من شر ما خلق. I seek refuge in the perfect, complete words of Allah from the evil of all that He has created. Because the creation has evil attached to it, right? So in hadith, we learn that whoever says this dua on arriving at a destination or stopping at a place, then nothing will harm him until he leaves from that place. So for example, you're driving and you stop at a store, all right? And you go into the store to buy something. Now, that is a stop that you're making in your journey. If you say, أعوذ بكلمات الله التامات من شر ما خلق, then for the entire duration that you're in the store, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect you. Nothing will harm you. Nothing will injure you. And these days, we're surrounded by dangers, right? There are stories we hear of, mass shootings. Subhanallah, I remember once I was going to a mall, and then, we tried to enter through one entrance in the parking lot that was closed, another entrance that parking lot was closed, and police everywhere, and we couldn't figure out what was happening. And we were told that the entire mall, we heard in the news that it was in lockdown because there was an active shooter inside. So, these stories we hear about in the most secure places in the world, in the West, where there's supposed to be police everywhere and guards everywhere and security cameras everywhere, where people have all types of liberties and freedoms. But still, children are not safe in elementary school. People are not safe in their own homes. Subhanallah. So whether you are traveling or you are stopping at a store for a few minutes, you are at a clinic, anywhere you go, make sure you say this dua, أَعُوذُ بِكَلِمَاتِ اللَّهِ التَّامَّاتِ مِنْ شَرِّ مَا خَلَقْ. I seek refuge in the most perfect, complete words of Allah, which are so powerful that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect me from the evil of anything that He has created. Because evil is attached to the creation. Some creatures are such that more evil is attached to them. Other creatures are such that little evil is attached to them. But we see that, something that can be so beneficial for you can also be a source of harm for you. So for example, paper, you use it, to write things. Paper is of benefit to you. It's not a weapon, but still you can get a paper cut, right? So, أعوذ بكلمات الله التامات من شر ما خلق. Another dua, اللهم اغفر لي وارحمني وعافني وارزقني. Oh Allah, forgive me, have mercy on me, protect me and provide me. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would teach this dua to people. Another dua we should say, اللهم إني أعوذ بك من الفقر والقلة والذلة وأعوذ بك من أن أظلم أو أظلم. Oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from poverty, from shortage, from humiliation. And I seek refuge with you, lest I commit oppression or I become a victim of oppression. So we're asking Allah to protect us from different types of evils over here. The evil of poverty. And yes, poverty can be very dangerous for a person's deen, not just their dunya, but also their deen. Then we're asking Allah for protection against qilla. Qilla is shortage. Like for example, shortage of wealth or shortage of opportunities to do good. Shortage of help, shortage of support, of the number of things that you are in need of, the number of people that you are in need of. Then dhilla. Dhilla is humiliation, embarrassment, disgrace before others. And we are asking Allah to protect us against harming others, oppressing others, and also becoming victims of oppression. In other ahadith, we learn the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also sought refuge against aila, yani dependence and poverty. We also learned that he made dua for protection against jahd al-bala. Jahd al-bala is the extreme difficulty of tribulation. So for example, a person is sick, but then with that sickness comes extreme fatigue, long fatigue, all right? Long consequences. For example, now a person loses their job, or they're not able to even clean their house, and things like that, jahd al-bala. Then wadarak al-shaqa, being suddenly overcome by misfortune, and then su al-qada, evil decree, wa shamatat al-arda, and the laughing of the enemies, that my enemies laugh at me. In another dua, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sought refuge against ghalabat al-dain, being overcome by debt, غلبت العدو, being overcome by the enemy. And also he sought refuge against يوم السوء, a day that is evil, ليلة السوء, a night that is evil, ساعة السوء, an hour that is evil, صاحب السوء, a companion that is evil, جار السوء, a neighbor that is evil. Why? Because things can be fine, and all of a sudden, one night your world is turned upside down. One day, one hour, one moment, one person, and your life is turned upside down. A bad neighbor, and your life is turned upside down. May Allah protect. He also sought refuge against weakness, al-ajz, wal-kasal, laziness, jubn, cowardice, haram, extreme old age, bukhl, stinginess, wa-a'udhu bika min adhab al-qabr. He sought refuge against punishment of the grave, and min fitnat al-mahya wal-mamat, tribulations of life and death. He also sought refuge against عذاب القبر. In another dua, he sought refuge against عجزي والكسل والجبن والبخل والهرم والقسوة. قسوة is hardness of the heart, where a person doesn't feel any compassion for others, or doesn't feel any affect, any willingness to change. غفلة, heedlessness. عيلة, which is also poverty. Dhilla, humiliation. Maskana, bad circumstances. He also sought refuge against faqr, wal kufr, wal fusuq, poverty, disbelief, sin, wal shiqaq, division, wal nifaq, hypocrisy, wal sum'a, saying things, doing things so that you are spoken about, people talk about you, riya, showing off. He also sought refuge against as-samam, which is inability to speak, bakam, wal-junoon, wal-judham, any deafness, blindness, and madness, wal-baras, wa-sayyi al-asqam, and all different forms of diseases, evil diseases. And you can also mention, in your dua, any kind of disease or ailment that you are afraid of. He also sought refuge against the evil of ma amiltu wa min sharri ma lam a'mal, the evil of what I have done and also the evil of what I have not done. Because sometimes you are blamed and given consequences for crimes that you have not committed. He also sought refuge against hunger, because hunger can make people misbehave. The best of people also can become very harsh and rude. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-jur. Oh Allah, I seek refuge against refuge with you against hunger. Fa innahu bi'sa al-dajir, because it is the evil companion. It is something that is terrible to be with. And wa a'udhu bika min al-khiyana. He also sought refuge against treachery. So we should also ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from all of these things, evil diseases, evil of our faculties, min sharri sam'i, min sharri basari, wa min sharri lisani, the evil of my tongue, wa min sharri qalbi, evil of the heart. also the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sought refuge against min al-hadmi, yani dying from something falling on you, something collapsing on you. Wa a'udhu bika min at-taraddi, and I seek refuge with you against taraddi, yani falling to my death, falling to some disaster. Wa a'udhu bika min al-gharq, from drowning. Wal haraq, and burning. Wal haram, extreme old age. وَأَنْ يَتَخَبَّطَنِيَ الشَّيْطَانُ عِنْدَ الْمَوْتِ, and that shaitan should drive me mad at the time of death. وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ أَنْ أَمُوتَ فِي سَبِيلِكَ مُدْبِرًا, and I seek refuge with you lest I die while turning away from your path. وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ أَنْ أَمُوتَ لَدِيغًا, and I seek refuge with you lest I die from the bite of a venomous creature. And this is also something that we should be seeking protection against. And earlier also I've mentioned another dua in which we seek refuge with Allah against an evil neighbor, against a spouse that causes one to become old before old age, from a child that becomes a master, from wealth that becomes a source of torture, from a friend who is treacherous. So all of these things we should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from, because truly Allah azza wa jal is the only protector. Alhamdulillah, all of these du'as and even more are in the book Iyyaka Nasta'in, published by Al-Huda Publications. And you can find them in an app also available both on Android and Apple, Iyyaka Nasta'in. You can just search for Al-Huda app and you will find an app on Iyyaka Nasta'in, which is especially du'as of protection, du'as of morning, evening. Then there's another app of du'as from the Qur'an, du'as from the Sunnah. And then there's another app which is actually based on this series, Qareebun Mujib. And inshallah, all of the du'as that have been mentioned in this series will be uploaded over there. So make sure you download that and keep updating that, because inshallah, all of the resources will be shared on that app. And alhamdulillah, these collections of different du'as are very helpful, because you know, sometimes you want to make du'a, but you don't know how to make du'a, what to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. And sometimes, you know, you doubt yourself, or you belittle your own fears or your own concerns. But when you look at the things that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed for, then you feel so validated, and you feel like, yes, you know, I am afraid of these things, and it's okay. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prayed for this, so I should also pray for this. And the best way of asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to ask in the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he was the best worshipper. And alhamdulillah, as I mentioned, these du'as are available in different apps, which you can download for free. And books are also available, which you can purchase from Al-Huda websites and also bookstores. Inshallah, we will conclude over here. Barakallahu feekum. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.